Hi, and welcome to Training and Assessment Professional Development's podcast. Really super grateful that you're here. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope you continue to tune in because we have a lot to offer. Training and Assessment Professional Development is about giving back to the community of trainers and those wanting to enter the industry to become a trainer assessor. Now, it doesn't matter if you're delivering short courses or even accredited training, we'll have something for you. I love to help trainers develop their skills to become leaders in their field. As I said before, we have a lot of content that will inspire you to grow and help you harness your niche. The world of vocational education training can be a minefield. Standards, legislation, and just when you think you've got a handle on it, something changes. Training package, qualification, industry regulations. Well, I'm here to help you demystify and show you some easy tips to stay ahead. Hi, I'm Donna Moulds, your host, and as an entrepreneur, coach, trainer, mentor for over 15 years, I want to share with you some insights that helped me reach a level as a trainer that I never thought was really possible. As a former CEO of my own RTO, Registered Training Organisation, for over 12 years, I have a wealth of experience that I want to share with you. So strap yourself in, grab a pen and a notebook, and let's get started. And I'm joined with Nathan Hawken from Dublin again, which I'm super excited because this is a five-part series. And part one is The Journey Out Is In, which I'm super excited about. So, Nathan, just take it away and we'll just discuss this as we go and I'll ask questions as they come up. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no worries, Donna. It's always a pleasure to see you and to come onto these things as well. And thank you so much. So the topic itself, this is something that a friend of mine actually brought into my awareness before in the way he put it. And the journey out is in, and we'll get into a little bit more detail about it. But because one thing I've noticed in everything that I've been doing as a coach, everything that I've tried to improve on in my own life, it's got nothing to do with the external world and the circumstances around us. It's got everything to do with what's happening inside yourself and what's happening inside me. And when my friend sent me these few messages, because I was going through like a bit of a rough time myself, and just I explained a little bit to him, and this is all via WhatsApp, so he was just messaging back. And my friend that who I met, he's just a very deep spiritual person, really awesome and amazing guy. And anything he does, he puts a spiritual context to it. So no matter what work he does, no matter what conversations he has, everything's spiritual to him, you know. And not in a way where he tries to ram it down your throat or anything like that. But it's just like, you know what, this is the world, this is the universe, this is what we live in, and everything's connected and there's a spirituality behind it all. And so I told him a little bit about some of the things which I was struggling with at the time. And he wrote these really long paragraphs of message back to me. And at the very end of it, he said, "It's things are neither good nor bad, they simply are. And it's your perception of what's going on around you which ultimately determines how you see it, whether things are good or whether they're bad. And in the end, the journey out is always in." Now, when I first heard that, I was just like, that's exactly what I needed to hear at the time. And then I guess part of my own spiritual quest, which I'd say I'm still on now, is just kind of understanding my own spirituality, not religion, not religious aspect, but more just spirituality in general. And one of my own, my own path has led me to come across a guy named Sadhguru, who's just an incredible guru who's out there at the moment. He's got a great book called Inner Engineering. And after reading that, that's exactly where my friend David, he got his information was, because there's a part in that where Sadhguru talks about the journey out is in. And so this is something I like to educate my clients on. When anytime I'm doing like a Facebook Live or any type of content I'm putting out there, I think one of the main things I like to focus on is helping people understand that anytime they look at the external world to try and change that, they need to turn that around and start looking inside, because it's changing within that makes all the difference.
Yeah, and would you say that something like, I've used a definition for someone is, if you are seeking your happiness externally from another person or from an event, that can be taken away from you. Whereas if you seek happiness from inside, no one can take that away.
Yeah, that's 100% it, because you know, this is where it gets really interesting, because people tend to look so towards everyone else to kind of validate their own life or to take responsibility for their own life, but really it comes down to the individual. And no matter what's happening, is what you said, if you're happy with yourself, who you are, if you're loving yourself, then it doesn't matter what's happening around you, because you're always going to be good. There's another guy named Michael Singer who's got a book called The Untethered Soul, which is incredible. He's also got another smaller one called The Untethered Soul at Work, which is all about like spirituality at work, right?
Yeah.
But where I was driving along to my sister-in-law's house, because I think she was babysitting my kid, and I was listening to that on the way. And it's funny, anytime I listen to an audio book or read a book, what they talk about is exactly something that I need at that moment. There's a piece of information which always comes into my awareness. I'm like, yes, that's what I need right now. And something he said was really interesting. He said, you know what, if you're in a relationship, the worst type of relationship to have is being in one where you need the other person, where you're reliant on them. The best type of relationship to have is one where you're both independent and live and love each other together. So rather than being so needy on the other person and needing them in your life, yes, of course you need them in that respect because they're your partner, but in a way where it's like it's to validate you or your life will fall apart if they're not there. It's like, well, no, it wouldn't be good if they weren't there, but you're still okay because you're independent. And if you're two people who are living together but independently as independent individuals, then that's one of the best relationships you can have because you're good with who you are and what's going on with you. Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember, and I believe it was either Marianne Williamson or Brené Brown who said that, and I think it was Marianne Williamson when she was talking about that movie with Renee Zellweger and Tom Cruise where it says, "You complete me." And they were talking about how, like, that's actually really bad because you should complete you, not the other person. Because, again, if they're gone, where are you?
Yeah, that's right. It's more – the way I like to look at it, it's more like you, in a relationship, they complement each other. Mm-hmm. And so if I look at my example with my wife, so since I met her, and we've been together for 14 years now, so since I met her, I've gone through an incredible period of growth. Being the person I am now is very different to the person I was when we first met. But she brought out in me a lot of my good, better traits, which I didn't realize were there before, and vice versa, you know. And so it's not so much about completing each other. It's about being with someone who actually helps you become better. It's like what Jack Nicholson says in As Good As It Gets. It's like, you make me want to be a better person, right? You make me want to be a better man. That's the same type of thing. Like, that's like the reason for wanting to be better or wanting to be more. But it doesn't matter if they're there or not. It's the fact that you want to be better for you. And I say this to a lot of my clients and anyone I try and speak to. It's like, and it's a big stigma about it. It's like, isn't working on yourself before, or isn't putting yourself first before everyone else a selfish thing? Well, if you look at selfishness as a bad thing, then yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm. But it's actually quite selfish to do most of the things that we do, even if it is like giving to charity or wanting to help someone. It's because we feel good doing it as well, you know. But to be able to put yourself first and realize that you need to work on you first in order to be better for everyone else, then that's not a negative type of selfishness. It's actually more important than anything else, because particularly with parents, and I see this a lot, and I understand as well, most parents and mothers in particular think like the kids always come first. Well, that's true, but you need to be the best person you can be or the best mother you can be first so you can provide that for your kids as well. And that's why we say the journey out is always in, because it always starts with you at the very core of it in order to change anything else around you.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And it's interesting because as a mother myself, when I was being raised and I was watching my mother who never put herself first, of course, that's what I was brought up to do. You put everyone else first. And it wasn't until later in my, you know, being a mother that I understood that, you know, I got that whole analogy of put your own oxygen mask on first because then you can help others. And, you know, I've taught many of my clients along the way that you really have to take the best care of yourself for everyone else.
Yeah. And that, and with what you're doing with this podcast, like the resilience movement, and you've got some really good people coming on with stories which are incredible about like becoming resilient and getting through difficult and hard times. And sometimes they're the ones which are absolutely, you wouldn't even fathom it, right? You wouldn't even fathom that someone could go through an experience like that and thrive. But it's like at any stage you realize that whatever's happening is happening to strengthen you rather than be something that's going to tear you down. And it's in that moment we have to realize that if I don't do something about it within myself, then the circumstances are going to take control over me. So
yeah,
being response-able, being able to respond to the circumstances despite what's going on. And the best way to respond is always to start looking inside yourself and say, right, what do I need to change inside me so I can handle this better or so I can cope better? More importantly, so I can thrive at the end of it as well.
So that's a really good thing that you said. So let me ask you this question then. So someone who has never understood the philosophy of, you know, really going within, where does someone start to do that? Like, how do they know, well, what does that mean to go within? What are you talking about? I would get that question, like, and it would be a frown of, what do you mean go within? You know, so what do you say to people about how they start to go in?
So, look, as a coach, and as you well know, it's the asking the right questions always produces the answer that you're looking for. And I believe that, actually, let me go back, because you, being NLP trained, you understand that one of the presuppositions of NLP is that perception is projection, right? So I did want to talk about that a little bit because I think that really explains it, because we all, or most people I'd imagine, are familiar with projecting feelings on someone else, right? Where there's an anger comes up and it gets projected on someone, or they've had it projected onto them. Like, I just asked a question, why are you so angry with me? And so I wanted to bring that up because if someone who doesn't quite understand that, they realize that they maybe act a certain way or a particular emotion comes up, like an anger or an unwarranted sadness or something like that comes up, realizing that that's actually coming from within and it's got nothing to do with the other person. Now, there's someone may do something which would make you upset or angry, and that's completely understandable. But sometimes when it's completely unwarranted, you get that feeling like, this is a bit of an overreaction. Like, where is that coming from? What's going on there? And so that's when I would stop someone and say, okay, so let's talk about projection a little bit. So what you're projecting is coming from within, or what someone is projecting on you is coming from within them, which means that there is something within inside yourself that you're not happy with, that's out of alignment with who you are, or maybe you're just in general in life, things aren't working the way you want them to, but you don't really know what it is that you want. And so it starts with that. It's starting to work out exactly what you want, which is a process in itself. I mean, a lot of self-help stuff out there and personal development stuff say, yeah, you've got to find your why and you've got to find your reason for being. It's all well and good, but that's a process that you have to go through. You can't just like, all right, I'm just going to sit down for an afternoon and figure out my why. You know, sometimes it's not that easy. But if you understand that the negativity that may be inside you or the way you're reacting inside yourself or particular emotions that come up, realize that they're coming up for a particular reason and that's part of who you are, then you can also start to understand that what you need to do is explore those and ask yourself, where does that come from? You know, what is actually going on there? And when we say in NLP terms, perception is projection. Now, I think it was Carl Jung who said, we seem to marry our unconscious mind and then project onto it all of our unresolved stuff, which means that when, I like the example, when you walk into a party or a room where there's a few people and you walk up to a group of people and you say, I like this person. It's good energy there. Feel this here. Yep, he's good. I really like her. I'm picking up some, I don't like this person here for some reason. There's something going on with this person I don't like. Now, anytime that happens, you have to stop for a second and think, right, what am I projecting onto that person that's making me think that I don't like that person, right? Unless they're like doing something really, really, really bad, that's totally understandable. But you have to remember that anytime you feel negativity towards anyone for any reason, that's actually a part of you deep down inside. Maybe it goes against your particular values, but that's within inside you. I know Jordan Peterson actually says that is understanding or realizing that you as a human being could actually do a horrific thing, because that is inside you somewhere at a really deep primal level. Understanding and realizing that that's inside you can actually educate you and help you become more aware to live a better life. And so it's the same thing. If you realize that you're not like that person, well, you also have to understand that that person is just being that person. That's who they are based on how they see the world and what goes on inside their head. And if you don't like that about them, then it's not anything to do with them. It's got to do with you. And so once you understand that, then you can start to think, right, well, what am I projecting? Where's this coming from? Why do I think I don't like this person? And so rather than looking at the person thinking I don't like them, you have to think back, what is it about me that I don't like? You know, that's where the journey ends starts. Like, what is it about me that I don't like? And now, why don't I like that about myself? And you start asking those type of questions to get to the root of what's going on, because ultimately underneath it all is going to be love, or you've got to have this love and self-respect for yourself. So if there's something that you don't like about yourself, then you have to explore that and figure it out what it is, because that's ultimately having an effect on the things which are happening in your life and what you're bringing into your life at the same time.
Yeah, and look, you know, when that concept was first given to me, my God, it made me so aware of my thoughts. You know, when I would, and this was many years ago, if I thought, oh, that person's a real, real jealous kind of person, I would go, oh my God, that's what I'm projecting. Like, where's that jealousy in me? Or that person is a really angry person. And that was a huge awakening for me. And I had to start to really think. But I also like the fact that I feel like if we increase our own emotional intelligence, we can go in, you know, a lot easier. It's not as hard a task, I feel, because you're really becoming aware of how you feel. But I don't think a lot of people understand that who haven't been, I guess, around spiritual people or around people that, you know, think quite deep. Like, you know, I've been called complicated because I'm a deep thinker. And now if someone calls me complicated or they call me an overthinker, like, I'm super excited about that because I'm a super overthinker, and that's okay because I like to really think about how I'm feeling about something, or why did I start to react in that way, even though I didn't, you know, project onto someone else. So, yeah, really interesting.
It's funny you say that, because you're kind of getting into the area of labeling people. That's a really dangerous area to get into, because, and this is where it gets really cool, and this is what I love about once you start to realize this, because you look at the behavior and the language from everyone else. So someone comes up to you and says, oh, you're complicated, you're an overthinker. Well, what are they projecting onto you based on how they think about themselves? You know, and this happens a lot, in particular when you see someone who might be like an overachiever, for example, not that I want to put a label on it, but someone who's out there doing more than your typical person. And a normal person, like a 9-to-5 worker, for example, who hasn't really explored tapping into what they truly want to do and maybe starting a business that will make them happy, or not working in a government job or something like that, then what's one of the first things that you notice people do? They tend to shoot other people down if they start breaking away from the pack. Right? It's like crabs in a bucket. That's when you start to think, well, what am I projecting here? Like, why am I so upset to see someone doing something more for themselves, right? And you're right, most people aren't at that stage, and it takes a process to start to really understand this. And I know when I first started to get into personal development, like, I was 30 at the time. So I turned 38 at the end of this year. And so in the first 12 months or 2 years of once I started to realize what personal development was and realize that I could actually change myself, I thought I knew it all, right? Because I was listening to the stuff all the time. I was reading books all the time. I was doing like NLP training. And I was like, oh, look, I get it now. Well, no, that's complete crap, because you never get it. You just become more and more aware. But it took a long time for me to really start to understand, right, okay, so I can change myself here, but I've still got a lot of things holding me back. I'm still projecting a lot of things. There's still a lot of things about myself which I don't like. And even today, there's still a couple of things which actually there's probably more things, because like there's always another level of something underneath, right, which is driving behavior. But I know that I've worked on myself enough to bring most of that stuff up to the surface so I can resolve it and let it go. And I think that's one of the keys there, is the willingness to be able to dig down deep enough to find out what's going on, and the willingness then to resolve it so you can let it go and progress to the next level, like the next level, if you will, or even just start to realize that you want something more for yourself and there's something inside you that you have to work on. But it's that willingness to do it. We spoke about it in the last conversation we had about responsibility, like the responsibility for change. Yeah. And it's getting people, or getting yourself, more importantly, to realize that you're responsible for what's going on inside your head and your life, and there's actually more for you out there. Even though you might think you've got the best life ever, there's actually more for you out there, but you've got to be willing to do the work. And the deep internal introspective work is the one which is the most important, because that ultimately shifts what happens in your external world and around you.
And that's where I think it's really important for people to understand that if you want to push yourself to another level, if you want to learn more, if you want to go deeper, you've got to find people that can help you find that, whether it be books or coaches or, you know, just, you know, really searching for where do I want to go. And it's really interesting because we had a session not so long ago and I had some blocks around writing. And since we've had that session, there was a particular block, which I'm not going to go into, but that particular block has completely gone. It doesn't even come up a little bit. And as I'm writing, and I wrote some really deep stuff today that I read back over it and I went, gosh, that was, and it's flowing, which is really beautiful, right? Because we get rid of this stuff that's holding us back, like what you were talking about. And I think sometimes we don't realize how much we're holding ourselves back.
Yeah. And it's the realization that's got nothing to do with what you think it is. So your block in regards to writing had nothing to do with writing or your creativity or anything like that. There was something way there. And let me tell you another example of that, because I had one of my old coaching clients re-engage me in coaching recently. And she's almost what I call like one of my star clients, because she's just willing to do the work. Like, she's in America, she lives in Arizona, and our session, she's in the car. So she's sitting at the front of either her business or apartment complex, because that's the only space she's got. And we get really deep into some stuff. And this time in particular, like, everything we've done so far, we had about three sessions plus like another 2 hour session like we did, is she's just gone really deep because she's ready for it. It's funny, I've had a plan for our coaching sessions the last 2 weeks in a row to talk about her goals and come up with a strategy and plan behind it. We didn't even get there because there was something much deeper going on. And so I spoke to her last on Tuesday, so Tuesday this week. I was going to talk about her goals again, because that was my plan. That's what I thought we were going to talk about. And so she's in a network marketing company. She's got her own business as well, like a shopfront type of business. And her network marketing company that she's part of, she's like, look, I really believe in it. It's like cosmetics. I really believe in it. The product's great, but I hate sales. Like, I don't like reaching out to people. I'm not good at selling, which is like limiting beliefs popping up. And I'm thinking, okay, cool. So sales the problem, you know, because she's built up a good business, like a shopfront business already. So she can sell. She can be passionate. She says, oh, I'm too introvert. I'm not extrovert. You've got to be extrovert to do sales. I'm like, okay, cool. So why don't we go a bit deeper on that? Like, awesome. So we went deeper, and anything that came up, I was like, cool, let's get deeper than that. Where's that coming from? It turns out, and this is something which we kind of covered in our previous session, but it had nothing to do with sales. It had nothing to do with her belief around selling. It had everything to do with how much she loves herself. Because dug down deep enough, because she's like, I don't believe I'm good enough to sell. And then as soon as she said that, those tears, waterworks, everything came out. And so, cool, let's, do you mind if we go deeper on that again? Because I knew there was something else there, and eventually got to like, yeah, she doesn't love herself enough to think she's going to be good at selling. And this is what we touched on in our previous session. It was very much about self-love, about how she doesn't love herself. And that was part of her tasking. So I got her to start writing down things that she actually loves about herself. And what was really cool was that when this came up in this session, I asked her to tell me about her tasking, what she came up, like the list of things where that she loves about herself. And she came up with 7. I asked her to do 20, but she could only come up with 7. But the 7 things that she came up with were everything that you need for sales. Like, I've got them written down here if I can find them. But there was like, that was serving people, like wanting to help people, and a few other things which came up. And when I brought that into her awareness, she was just like, oh. I was like, how do you feel about selling now? She's like, I can do it. It's like, awesome. I like, this went on for a little bit longer, but that was it. Like, the journey out for her was definitely going within, because it had nothing to do with a fear of selling. It had nothing to do with reaching out to people and trying to like sell a product to someone. It had everything to do with how much she loves herself and how much she needs to realize that. And that was one of the last questions I left her with. I said, after she had a breakthrough and I gave her some time to just kind of integrate that and process it, I said, so what is it that you need to know right now? And she said, I need to know I love myself. All right, good. And I pretty much finished the session there because she needed to kind of integrate that over the next week. But this
and
is the whole
point. And get herself together before she got out of the car.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, wipe the tears off, you know, brush it all up. But that's the whole point of what we're talking about, Donna. It's like it's got nothing to do with what we think is going on. Got nothing
Can I
to
ask
do
you
with
a question? So it's interesting because I've had a couple of clients over the past week and we've been working on stuff around, you know, self-love and self-worth. And, you know, if someone doesn't look in the mirror and see themselves, you know, like actually look in the mirror and go, what do I like about myself? Even before they can get to love, what do I like about myself? Do you think that they can go within if they can't even look in the mirror at themselves?
I think, look, they can because everyone can, right? But if someone's at that stage where they can't even look at themselves in the mirror, there's a lot more work that needs to happen first, right? Because that's – and this is where I need to be careful with these type of things because everyone's different and so there's no one solution for everyone. But if someone's willing to go there, it'll start with a few smaller things. Like I said, if you can look in the mirror and just look at yourself, and start to feel good about yourself in the smallest way, then that's a win. And if you can do the same again tomorrow, only you can find something else about you that you like, then that's another win. But if you said, I want you to look in the mirror and dig down deep inside yourself to get to a point where you love yourself totally and completely, that's a lot because there can be a lot of barriers, a lot of beliefs, a lot of things which have happened in the past which are preventing them from doing that. Because as you well know, it's like the things that happened in the past, the beliefs that we form, shape how we see the world and shape how we see ourselves today, how it is. And so we need to be able to kind of get to a point where you can take the charge off all those things that happened in the past to see yourself as you, right? A whole and complete being. And one of the things I like to help people with is like, you have to realize that when you came out, when you were born, the day you were born, you were a whole and complete being, right? You weren't conditioned. You didn't have any beliefs, except for what may have been passed down to you through the genes, but that's a bigger story for another time. But if you think, when you're like this beautiful baby that's just come into the world and you've had no experiences, nothing to alter the way you think about yourself. So if you were that person, that being at some stage, but you're not that now, then you have to remember that you can get to that stage as well because you were there once. Your mind, your body, you know what it's like to be like that at some stage. And you can get back there at some stage as well if you allow yourself, but you've got to peel back a lot of the layers and conditioning which have happened already. Because even now, like I'm doing a spirituality program, and part of what I'm doing is I've got to almost cleanse myself, like which means I'm 37 years old. I've got 37 years of life to kind of peel back and let a lot of that stuff go because that's shaped who I am today. And once you go through that type of process, then you're like, cool, now my eyes are a little bit more open. Now I'm more aware. Now I can focus on the good rather than focusing on the bad all the time. So I guess to answer your question, look, it can happen, but there's a process that needs to happen first, and it's going to take some time. And like with anything like this, you can't rush it. You can never force someone to do it. You can never rush it because you've got to get to where you need to be or where you want to be in your own time in the way that works best for you.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, like I simply asked one of my clients to pick three things. If you can just think of three things, you know, and just focus on those three things, but feel it. And I said, you know, just put your hand on your heart and really feel it. Even if you have to start with one, you know, and we went through that process. But it's interesting you say, so many years ago, I did timeline therapy. And this was when I went to an Anthony Robbins seminar and then I'd done my NLP and so forth. And we did the timeline therapy where you were floating above your timeline and, you know, to go back to different stages and when you first remember stuff, like that's an extremely powerful process to go through. And I remember years ago I had this limiting belief that I couldn't be a successful businesswoman because I'm a woman. And in my timeline therapy, I went back 76 generations.
Wow, yeah.
And I could even see clearly what I was wearing, where I was, even the you know, the timeline is in the buildings and things like that. It was really, really powerful. It's quite an incredible process.
Yeah, that's why I love timeline therapy. I do that for most of the people I work with at the beginning, because it's a way to really kind of do that cleansing and release all that stuff so you can focus more on the future. But, yeah, it's – and like I said, this is a conversation for another time, because you can go back that far. Like, you, if you really want to get into the metaphysics of it all, it's like everything's connected, right? So naturally there could be beliefs which can be passed down through the genes to get to where you are today. And it's by getting to this stage of awareness where you're actually able to release it, because it's really interesting. This has happened a few times where, like, you've done timeline therapy and you've released negative emotions and you've released limiting beliefs. However, there were still blockages which came up, like even during our session, right? And so why is that? Because this is a really big question. It's like, well, if I released all that stuff in the past, why is this presenting a problem today? Well, it's very simple. You can only ever release and let go of the things which you're able to do consciously. So as you know, like, your unconscious mind will present something to you. Maybe it's a memory and it's got like a charged negative emotion to it. So it could be washing the dishes and suddenly, bang, this memory pops into your head. Suddenly you feel sad or depressed or angry. You're like, well, where did that come from? I can't deal with that. Push it way, way, way back down there. I don't want to feel that or do anything with it. Now, what's actually happening there is that your unconscious mind is saying, look, you're able to resolve this and let this negative emotion go if you're willing to do it. You know, some people aren't willing to do it then and there, and that's fine. And so when you go back and you can release these things and let go of negative emotions and limiting beliefs, you let go of what you need to let go of in order for you to do what you need to do now and progress to where you need to progress to. And there are going to be more things which pop up. You know, as I said before, we've got a life of all these things which is there, and it's all buried deep, and there's always another layer of deep stuff to bring up to the surface and resolve. And you can only do that with what you've got at the time, because you're only able to handle those things at the time. So if anyone was just starting out, for example, going back to standing in the mirror or even realizing one thing that they like, that's then it's focusing on that and realizing that once you do that, there will just be something else which you'll take care of. And you're only able to deal with or resolve what you can resolve at this moment. And there will be something else later on. And that's perfect, because that's all part of the process. We never arrive, we never get complete in that way. We just get progressively better at being ourselves and learning to love the process as we go.
Yeah, and I found it really interesting, because I can't tell you how many letters of forgiveness I've written, right, over, you know, my journey of learning about all of this and going within. And when we had a session, it was like I was cranky with myself that it's like, oh, damn it, I've got to do another letter. Like, hasn't this stuff gone? So, you know, you just made a very, very relevant point. It's like other stuff comes up, and when you're doing something else, it comes up. And that was the chapter I was writing today, which was about forgiveness. And I had the absolute confirmation of the work that I've done today, because as I'm writing about stuff, I know that I've forgiven, because nothing was triggered. I could write about it. So that was validation today. So, yeah.
It's funny, because we really are our harshest critics. Now, if that motivates you to do better, then that's fine. But even so, and this is a question I ask anyone who says, like, well, I'm guilty. I feel angry towards this person who did this in my life, or I feel guilty that this happened. I always ask, well, who are you really guilty at? You know, going back to perception is projection. Like, what are you projecting? I'm angry at this person. Okay, cool. So, if this person was just doing the best that they can in their life based on their own conditioning and their own beliefs and their own insecurities, then they're just acting in the way that they know best. That's may not be working for them, but they're just doing what they believe is what they think is either the best thing for them.
Yeah.
And so who are you really angry with, or who are you really feeling guilty about? And they're like, you know what? It's me. Right? Yeah. So why are you angry with yourself? Why are you guilty? What are you feeling guilty about? Once again, it's turning it back within inside yourself, you know, and understanding that anything that's happening there, it's like, yeah, this is all happening within. You sort that stuff out, and then cool, you can let that go. Something else will pop up later, and you'll be in a much better position to be able to handle that, because they do come and they get pretty big sometimes. But, you know, that's all part of the process.
It's funny, when I first learned about NLP, and I was so excited, and then I did my practitioners way back in 2009, a mentor, someone who had who was really my first introduction to NLP, he fell into addiction again. And that really shook me, because I'm like, but he knows NLP. How does this happen? And I just thought that if you knew NLP, you were just going to be good for life, right? I just thought everything, your world is perfect. That was a real reality check that, you know, and knowing that you just have to keep doing the work, you know, always have to keep doing the work.
Yeah, you have to want to, you know, and that's the thing. I felt the same way. I think when I did my trainers training, I don't know if I've told you this before, there was about 80 people there. So these are trainers, people learning to become a trainer in NLP. So they've done practitioner, they've done master practitioner. And I remember there was one day we were waiting at the front before we went into the room, and one of the coaching assistants brought a lady up. I think she was Chinese. She was from Hong Kong, if I remember correctly. So I just started chatting to her. And I was like, oh, cool. So where do you come from? Why are you here? You know, usual banter and chit-chat. And she's like, well, I want to be a coach and I want to work with people and I want to learn how to train in NLP. I was like, awesome, cool. So hey, are you coaching right now? No, I've got no clients just yet. I was like, well, why not? Big question I like to challenge a lot of people. Why are you coaching people right now? It's like, well, I need to learn this first and I need to study this first and then I need to get qualified in this. I'm like, awesome. So why aren't you coaching now, right? And she's like, oh, no, because I need to get qualified first and I need to do this. And automatically I know that that's a limiting belief. There's a fear there which is stopping her from actually picking up the phone and trying to get clients, because it happens all the time in the coaching industry. But I found that really funny, because there's a few examples of that happening where you think someone who's there learning to become a trainer in NLP would have all their stuff sorted, right? No, it's not about that. It's not about having all your stuff sorted. Learning this things like NLP or any other type of training that you do which helps out, learning it is one thing. But then applying it into every aspect of your life is very different. And because once you learn it, it's like you're still a novice at it. You're still very immature. And it's like, okay, I know the information. Now, how do I really know it? Training is a good way to really, really know it. But then there's another difference, like knowing it at a deep level, and then living it as well. You know, and it's, you're still going to have these fears which block up, like this lady from Hong Kong. Like, she's obviously had fears about actually coaching people, because she was procrastinating by wanting to learn more and wanting to get more qualified, which you don't need if you want to coach people. You just need to get out there and coach people. But then picking up the phone and making sales calls or reaching out to someone on social media like my client, the fear pops up. It's like, oh, no, I'm bad at selling, or I hate selling, or I can't sell. It's got nothing to do with that. There's something deeper at play. And just because you've learned all these things doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be closed off, or you're automatically going to release everything straight away, because, like we said, It takes a process to do that.
Yeah. And it's been really good, because I've been doing a little bit of different type of coaching over the last 2 weeks, and I really wanted to coach intuitively. I didn't want to have, you know, a process or a script or anything like that. And I have to say, just it felt so good to be more intuitive, and, you know, and it was like, at first I was a bit fearful that things wouldn't come to me as I needed them, like tools, because there's so many different tools that we can use. And I remember as I'm talking, it was just coming, and it was such an amazing feeling. And the feedback from the three clients, where I really wanted to be so present and just intuitive, the feedback was brilliant. So.
Yeah, that's actually really important. I think it kind of ties into what you're saying about if people have never done this process before, it's like you got to be able to trust your own intuition. You know, that's the thing that's going to serve you the most, because that's ultimately it's going to guide you to what you need, and be completely present. It's actually funny you say that, because this is something I've put a lot more focus in my own business recently. So even like before our session, I've got like a little bit of a ritual I go through. Usually by that stage, it's the evening. So a lot of my work I do in the evening once I've taken care of all my day-to-day things. And so I usually start work about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, work up until about midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock. That's where most of my coaching clients are. So I'll have a nap when the kids go to bed. So I'll have a nap, cold shower, so I'm wide awake and refreshed and ready to go. And then before any session, about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even before when we spoke as well, I'm like, it's like almost like a pep talk, but it's I speak to myself and I'm like, all right, unconscious mind, I need your help. I need all my NLP training, anything I've learned in personal development, anything I've listened to, any seminars I've been to, any videos I've watched, anything that's going to help Donna or my next client have the best possible experience, any way I can serve them in the best possible way. I need you to bring it into my conscious awareness so I can access it easily and effortlessly. And I just give myself this, all right, bring all this information to me. And these days I don't usually take many notes, and I'm literally kind of staring at the screen because it's all online, but I'm getting connected. And you'll feel it as a coach, like, if you stop and just get out of your own head and just start focusing and just know that the answers will come. Don't worry too much about words. Don't worry too much about any plan that you may have had. focus on what they need now with a service mindset and just really focus. And it feels like, actually, it is a trance, because I remember recently when my client was going through that like self-love thing, it's like I could feel it, like because there's an exchange of energy. It doesn't matter if you're in Australia, if I'm in Ireland, if they're in America, there's an exchange of energy going on and you can really feel it. And if you can allow yourself just to be totally present in that, realize that the answers come, but more importantly, slow down. Like, rather than just trying to solve all the problems, but slow down, be comfortable with silence and just think, right, so they say something, let it sit for a few minutes if need be until you're able to come up with the thing that's going to serve the most. Then that's ultimately how your clients are going to get the best experience as well, in a way that's making them think so they can get the best outcome, not your outcome because you want to serve them. Like, this is because that's your outcome. What's important is their outcome. It's like what they need, and the best way they're going to get what they need from you is by you following intuition and allowing those thoughts to come, allowing those questions to come in the most profound way that they can think about it and have the most profound experience.
Yeah, yeah. I totally resonate with what you're saying about not having, you didn't use the word expectation, but the outcome, like not having an outcome for me, because it's not about my outcome. And you're in a different place when you don't have that. So yeah, that's really powerful. So if you were going to tell someone how to start a process of going on this journey of really discovering themselves in a way that they want to, where would be a really good place to start?
Start with what's not working.
Okay.
Which is usually quite easy, because people can go on for hours talking about everything that's not working. But when you ask them what is working, that might be a struggle for them. But a lot of people are like, they're like, well, I ask, like, what do you actually want? And they don't really know. And you start with what you don't want. And so if you look at yourself internally, it's like, right, what do I not like about myself right now? Well, I'm short, or I get angry. Or when I say short, I mean short-tempered. If you're short in stature.
Too bad. Like,
yeah, that's right. It's like, oh, I get angry too quickly, or I don't like the way I think about myself sometimes, or I don't like how I judge people quickly and things like that. Because once you can highlight the things which you don't like, then you can start working on them one by one. It's like, right, so I get angry quite quickly. Okay, well, why do I get angry quite quickly? Is it all the time, or is it just specific things? And then you can kind of almost tick them off your list as you go, because part of the challenge with most people is that it's not in their conscious awareness of what's actually going on inside them. So when you start bringing this stuff to the surface, then you can realize when it's actually happening in your day-to-day life. So you can realize, right, I was actually really short with that person, or I got angry really quickly. Ah, that's because I know that's part of me that I don't like. And I've already explored that. So now I understand why I did that. Because if you can understand why, then you can start to think about, cool, what can I do differently? And then the trick is you have to trust the answer which comes up and then implement it. So next time it's like, well, I got angry quite quickly. What do I need to do? I need to stop myself. I need to take a breath, and I need to step outside for a minute so I can calm myself down. And then I can come back into it, you know?
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, that's fantastic. This has been so good. So good. So,
This is always good talking to you. I love these type of chats.
Is there anything else you would like to tell anyone about the journey of going, the journey out is within?
Yeah, just to trust yourself. That's the main thing.
Because your last one in that process too was like, trust the answer that comes up for you, which again, trusting your intuition is right. Yeah.
Yeah, but just trusting that, like, trust yourself, trust your own thoughts, and keep things simple. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure on people to, it's not pressure on them, but they put themselves under pressure to make things complicated. Mm. And one thing I've done recently in my business, I shut down my sales funnel. I've turned off my website, everything, because the way I like find people to work with is by having conversations, really. And all that digital marketing stuff, it was taking too much time and focus away from the thing which I need to do the most. And since then, it was funny, within 48 hours, I had two brand new clients, which just came out of nowhere, like literally nowhere. It's incredible. But I see it happen time and time again, not just in the coaching industry, but with people in life. They just overcomplicate things. You know, it's like I need to manage my time and be more productive. So I'm going to spend the next day and a half trying to find the best productivity tool, right? And it's like, no. time, right? You're procrastinating on what you need to do. And so if you can keep things as simple as possible, don't overthink it and just trust yourself. Learn to develop that relationship with yourself so you can just totally trust your thoughts and totally trust what comes up, but trust how you're feeling and realize that it's all good. Then you can actually start to make the changes that you need to make. So things just naturally start to get better and realize that it's a process. You know, take the pressure off, keep it simple and trust yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good thing to think about, is just the whole trust. You know, I just don't think we trust ourselves enough. Know that when it came to the Camino, a lot of people said to me, oh, did you book your accommodation? And so last year my word for the year was trust. And so walking along the Camino, I just trusted that I will always find a bed, I will always find food, and I will always be safe. And yeah. I was exactly that. So
that's awesome.
Thank you, Nathan. This has been awesome. And I'm super excited because next week we have the importance of seeking help when you need it. And I think this is going to be a really powerful discussion too, because, you know, I think the conversation around people getting help and reaching out when they need someone, that conversation's been happening a lot more now, especially with this year and what's happened. So I'm really looking forward to next week.
Yeah, so, me too. It's really good. I think it'll be very powerful to people that are listening as well. Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, Donna. It's been really good chatting with you.
Thank you. And everyone, thanks for, again, tuning in to another episode.